Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
What does it mean that God is unchangeable? Or if you like the seminary word, immutable? We know that there's a sense in which God does change. Obviously, He was angry with us before we were in Christ, and now He loves us as His children. That's a big change. There are countless ways in which God does change. So what is James getting at in James 1:17 when he talks about God not being changeable? It's talking about God's reliability. Think for a moment about times in your life when you relied on someone or something that proved to be unreliable. That's no fun, right? We need to be able to count on some things. What if sometimes the ground was there for you and other times it wasn't? What if sometimes gravity worked and other times it went to sleep? Life would be impossible. So today, James is going to show us one of the most wonderful ways in which God is utterly, completely trustworthy. James 1:17, every generous act and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So let every temptation you face stimulate you to look up. Just reflex. Temptation, look up. Look up. Solution is up there. And when you look up, watch for three things about God. First, He's the source of all good gifts, and He has a generous heart and a lot of power behind that generosity. Secondly, He's the giver of life. That's His decision. He loves giving life. That's what He wants to do. It's His desire. And then the third one is the crux of James' argument. God's desire is to give us good gifts, and His decision is to give us life. And that desire and that decision never changes. That's the third thing. Look at verse 17. Every generous act and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. You could translate that, in whom there is no shadow caused by turning. You know how the stars and the sun and the moon, everything turn, the earth turns, and that's why we have daytime, nighttime. Sometimes it's day, sometimes it's night. There's shadows caused by all the turning. God doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. He there's no downside. This is the verse that's quoted in the great hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. That's just straight out of this verse. And he got it right on. It's about God's faithfulness. Heavenly bodies create shadows, sometimes light, sometimes dark. God is a light that casts no shadow. There's no downside to God and His gifts. He's utterly reliable. He doesn't keep changing. It's not sometimes night and sometimes day. With God, it's always day. According to Genesis 1, God designed the movements of the heavenly bodies for a reason. You remember in Genesis 1 what the purpose of the sun, moon, and stars is? Remember the purpose? It's to mark time. A standard for measuring time. Seasons, days, and years. That's why He put them up there. So we could have a reliable measurement of time. And the creator of that process obviously has to be more regular and more reliable than the process itself, right? If He's the creator of it. That reliability had to come from somewhere. God is more reliable and more unchangeable than the best timekeepers in the universe. That's the point here. And you can tell the guy who wrote Great is Thy Faithfulness really understood this passage. This passage is exactly about faithfulness. And I love that hymn because it's not like the modern songs that are all over the place. It never strays from this theme of faithfulness. And that's what that verse 2 is about. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. This is exactly the point of this passage. Nature testifies that the creator of this place must be someone who is utterly faithful and reliable. The National Institute for Standards and Technology in Boulder, they have an atomic clock that is accurate. It measures time by the regularity of the movements in an atom. Those movements are so regular that for that clock to get off by even 1 second would take more than 300 million years. That's pretty regular. What James is saying is, think of how regular and reliable and unchangeable the creator of the atom must be. Utterly reliable. But reliable for what? I mean, you can count on, like, bad people to do bad things. That's reliability, right? But it's not a good kind of reliability. What is it that about God that's so unchangeable? Everything that's essential in God's nature, we know, is unchangeable. But what is James talking about here? He draws attention to one particular thing about God that is utterly unchangeable. He wants to make sure that when you think about God's good gifts and His generosity behind those gifts and His decision to give you life, that is absolutely unchangeable. Unchangeable. I saw this same principle. I just happened to be reading in 1 Timothy 6 this week, and an interesting verse, 1 Timothy 6:17. Take a look at it. He says, command those who are rich in this present world not to put their hope in wealth. Why not, Paul? Why not put my hope in my paycheck? Why can't I put my hope in that? He says, because it's so uncertain. Don't put your hope in that because it's so uncertain. Instead, tell them to put their hope in God who, and then you expect them to say, who is utterly reliable and certain, right? That's what you expect. He goes beyond that. He says, don't put your hope in the riches. Instead, put your hope in God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. See, He's reliable, but reliable to do what? Reliable to give and to give and to give for your enjoyment until you're satisfied. That's what He's reliable to do. Riches, you can't count on Him for that. You can count on God for that. Like He told David, I'll keep giving to you. I'll keep giving. If you don't despise my word, I will keep giving until you're satisfied. You can count on God to richly provide everything for your enjoyment, everything you need for joy in the Lord, everything you can count on Him to provide, and that is unchangeable. So, is it possible that God would give us life and then tempt us to walk down the path towards death? No! No, it's absurd! Is it possible that at one point it was God's desire for you to have life, but now that's changed? No! The sun will rise in the west before that happens. He will never, ever entice you in the direction of death. He decided to give you birth. The purpose of temptation and sin is to drag you to death. God's unchangeable desire is to pull you in the direction of life. He'll never tempt you to sin. Now, does God allow us to take steps in the direction of death? Yes, obviously. He just got done warning us about that. God does. He allows us to choose death. But He would never entice us in that direction or draw us in that direction because His desire for us to have life never changes. It's unchangeable. The people who are close to you, they're changeable. Your husband, your wife, your parents, they desire what's best for you. Sometimes, right? Lots of times. I mean, lots of the time, they desire what's best for you, but at certain times, they change, don't they? And you can't count on them to always be the same. When a drunkard says, you know, there might be a drunkard who feels, he really is repentant, he says, I will never drink again. And he means it. He means it with all his heart, but then he changes. Husband might say, I don't ever want to hurt you again. And he might mean it with all his heart, but in a moment of anger, he changes. God isn't like that. He's not like that. God said, I have decided, I've made the decision to give you life, and the universe will go out of existence before that decision will ever change. So, when you face a temptation, look up. Look up. Look at Him. Look out, be on your guard against especially your own heart. Look in, understand where the source of the problem is. It's inside you, it's not on outside you. Then look up to the solution. Look at what God's like. And when you look up, fix your gaze especially on the fact that He's the only source of good news. He's generous to you. He has a heart to give to you. That He's the only source of life, and that will never change. That desire to give you good gifts will never change. Draw near to Him. and experience His presence. And you will have pleasure and joy beyond what any sin could ever even begin to give you. When you face an alluring temptation, at the moment you're being tempted, your Father in heaven is saying, I'll give you something way better than that. I promise, I will. Trust me. When it looks like sin, the sin just looks so desirable and so satisfying, and you're just like, I gotta have it. The awesome, glorious Creator of the universe, of the heavens, is saying, I can satisfy your soul way better than that. Trust me. And when it seems like if you don't taste a little bit of this sin, you're just going to miss out. I'm going to be missing out on some good thing. When you feel that way, the unchangeable giver of life is saying, no, you're not going to miss out on anything. I will give you what will satisfy your soul. That's my desire. That's my decision. It's what I'm going to do. It was my choice to give you birth in the first place. I'm going to give you fullness of life. And He's saying to you the same thing He said to David in 2 Samuel 12. I gave you this. I gave you all this stuff. And if that's not enough to satisfy, I would give you even more. Just don't despise my word. I'll give you everything you need to be happy forever. Just trust me. Wait for my timing. Don't run to any other alternative. And I will give you abundant life that will never change. The most basic thing God requires of us is faith, to trust Him. And since that's the main thing God wants from us, and that's the thing that will do us the most good in our lives, God has a lot to say in His Word about how trustworthy and reliable He is. The more we see Him as trustworthy, the easier it will be for us to trust Him. Make an effort today to notice signs and evidences of God's trustworthiness. It won't be hard. Signs are everywhere. And as you notice them, let them stimulate gratitude, praise, and faith.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of James. 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. And if you like listening on your phone, download our free Food for Your Soul mobile app. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.